Good morning. It's time for Daily Chapel at the LCMS International Center in St. Louis. The text is Acts chapter 11, verses 19 through 30, and chapter 13, verses 1 through 3. The Reverend Sean Denzer is preaching. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
A reading from Acts, beginning at the 11th chapter. Now those who were scattered because of the persecution that arose over Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, speaking the word to no one except Jews. But there were some of them, men of Cyprus and Cyrene, who on coming to Antioch spoke to the Hellenists also, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them. And a great number who believed turned to the Lord. The report of this came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. When he came and saw the grace of God, he was glad, and he exhorted them all to remain faithful to the Lord with steadfast purpose, for he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith. And a great many people were added to the Lord. So Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul, and when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. For a whole year they met with the church and taught a great many people. And in Antioch, the disciples were first called Christians. Now in these days, prophets came down from Jerusalem to Antioch, and one of them, named Agabus, stood up and foretold by the Spirit that there would be a great famine over all the world. This took place in the days of Claudius. So the disciples determined, everyone according to his ability, to send relief to the brothers living in Judea. And they did so, sending it to the elders by the hand of Barnabas and Saul. Now there were in the church at Antioch prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, a member of the court of Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." Then after fasting and praying, they laid their hands on them and sent them off. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
In many and various ways God spoke to his people of old by the prophets. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Blessed St. Barnabas Day, and a fitting feast for having our those who are preparing to be missionaries here for their first week of orientation. Let's just have a quick lesson on who Barnabas is and all the things that the Scriptures say about him, because he gets a lot of airtime. We are first introduced to him in Acts 4. He is one of those who is coming and selling his possessions, laying them at the feet of the apostles, especially Peter. He goes and he sells a field, showing that he has some amount of wealth. He's called there Barnabas, which means, interpreted for us, son of encouragement or son of consolation. His regular name was Joseph. And he was a Levite, a Jew, as we heard, the only kind of people that they were going to at first. And he was from Cyprus, the island that's off northwest of Jerusalem and pretty close to Antioch, which is north of there, past Gentile country. And he is the one who vindicates Saul, when he escapes in the basket, when he runs away to Jerusalem, and of course no one there wants to see him back in the Christian church. But Barnabas stands up and vouches for him, and so he is received. He mentions in particular all of the preaching that Barnabas had done in Damascus. And then he goes to Antioch, as we heard in today's lesson. He's sent by the suspicious church in Jerusalem to check out these stories about Gentiles coming to the faith. If we had heard the chapter just before today, we would have heard St. Peter's visit to Cornelius, a very significant thing in the book of Acts. Peter, a good Jew, ready to serve the Lord, ready to preach, is uncertain about preaching to Gentiles. And he has that vision of the sheet coming down from heaven, revealing to him, as we heard not too long ago, what I have called clean, don't you call unclean. He goes, he speaks to Cornelius, the whole family and all those there are believing, and Peter confesses clearly that we see the Holy Spirit comes through repentance and faith also to Gentiles. But the Jerusalem church does not seem to believe it. They send Barnabas. And how fortunate, or how under our Lord's care, that Barnabas is the one. He's a shrewd man. He's a smart man. He's a gentle and good man, as we heard in our text, full of the Holy Spirit. And this is the way of fellowship in the Christian church, that those of us who have the Spirit of God, those of us who have heard the Word of God, recognize that voice. You know what Jesus said? My sheep hear my voice. They don't listen to the voice of hirelings, but they know when they hear the sound of their good shepherd. This is also what we mean then when we speak about fellowship being a recognition of where the Holy Spirit is at work in others, where the Word of God is sown, where it begins to bear fruit, where the Holy Spirit is leading other Christians to confess the faith. We listen to that. We don't treat it lightly. And we are joyed to hear when that echo is there, when the voice of our good shepherd is echoing out of our neighbors, or we hear the words of the Holy Spirit, that is, what is in accordance with the Holy Scriptures, coming from their mouths. This is exactly the experience that Barnabas has. And he, well, actually, the book of Acts calls it, he sees the grace of God. How do you see something that is intangible like that? Well, you hear its effects. You recognize the confession of this faith that is the very same faith we believe. The trust in Christ Jesus, whose death on the cross has forgiven our sins, who is the way to eternal life, who forgives even those sins against the law, as Peter was learning. What are we going to do with all these Gentiles in Antioch? We need a teacher. He knows to go get Paul. He's heard him once before, at least. He goes up and brings Paul from Tarsus to Antioch. They stay there for a while. They continue to nurture what had been begun in these Gentiles by the planting of the seed in the Word of God, growing the church there to become quite a great church in the initial history of the Christian church. And of course, they have this wonderful and very honorable historical credit to them, the first place where anyone was called Christians, and here at a church where Gentiles have come to the faith. With Paul, they are the ones then that bring the great donation, the great ministry, as Paul likes to call it, the service of funds to the church in Judea that now has become poor, maybe because they've sold all their fields, in the midst of a famine. And Barnabas is right there with Paul doing that service that Paul, of course, writes at length about in his epistles. And then, as we heard, I believe, yes, they're sent out after fasting and prayer to go on what we would call the first missionary journey of St. Paul. Their first stop, Cyprus. And I think we can see why. This is Barnabas's home territory. Goes to preach the gospel even more to his own people, but think about it, probably to all the Gentiles who got passed over the first time. They go on to other places, in particular to Lystra, where they are hailed as gods. You see, the Gentile mission has its own challenges, because there's a lot of things to clear out of the way before Christ and His Holy Spirit can come. And that's where Barnabas is called Zeus, and Paul becomes called Hermes because he's the one talking. At City in Antioch, though, this is where the very sad reality is spoken. It says by Paul and Barnabas alike that it was necessary for them to go first to the Jews with the message of the gospel, the message of Christ Jesus, the Messiah who has come to redeem his people. But they rejected it. They were hard-hearted. They were stubborn. In fact, the way it says it in Acts, they judged that they themselves we're not worthy of eternal life. What a tragic phrase that they would toss that away by refusing Christ Jesus. This leads Barnabas and Paul to say, we go and turn now to the Gentiles. This is a very tragic moment, and yet for us, a very joyful moment. Again, we see Barnabas' readiness to see the evidence of the Word of God in his Holy Spirit, the message of Christ Jesus, going out, making Christians, inspiring faith, leading them to the great acts of love, which we have that with the donation to Judea, and not denying it at all, but being joyful for it. Barnabas truly is a patron saint, you might say, of us who are of Gentile descent. Barnabas is also there in Acts 15, the great council in Jerusalem. He's seen the working of the Word of God and the Spirit among the Gentiles. He and Paul both go down, Paul the spokesman as ever, to give their testimony at the council, an important moment. The big church in Jerusalem, with all of their ideas, very concerned that you must be circumcised, you must become a Jew before you can be a Christian. But that's the council where at last we see Peter, Paul, Barnabas too, in alignment, confessing together. Nothing out of sorts here. The Spirit is echoing and saying amen between all of them when Peter says, his great line in my opinion, how can we who have shouldered this burden of the law for so long and never been able to keep it, mind you, as Jews, now subject the Gentiles to the same thing? No, we know that they are saved by faith in Jesus Christ, just as we Jews will be. Beautiful. And Paul can only say amen to that too. He and Barnabas take the message, the results of this council, back to Antioch up north, their base of operations. That's chapter 15. At the end of chapter 15 is when Barnabas and Paul have their famous split. And this is a tragic thing. We know that John Mark, perhaps the Mark who wrote the Gospel of Mark, that he had been with them and he had peeled off during the middle of the mission, perhaps out of fear, perhaps out of danger, but in some way he proved himself unreliable. And Paul remembered it. Paul and Barnabas, it says at the end of Acts 15, have a sharp disagreement about whether to bring Mark along or not. And finally, they decide they're going to part ways. Barnabas sets off, no surprise, back to Cyprus, his home territory, and he brings Mark. We find out, by the way, in Colossians that Mark is actually his cousin or his relative. So I suppose we see why Barnabas is slow to give up on his kinsmen. But Mark proves himself to be a good servant of Christ with Barnabas. We know Paul's multiple mentions of Mark later are favorable again. We see that he is useful for ministry. We see also that he is desirable for Paul and should be welcomed by others. Again, that testimony that the Spirit is at work through the Word of God, bringing about a confession of faith and an act of love. That then is pretty much the end of hearing about Barnabas. Except one more thing, that Paul brings him up as supporting evidence when he's making his case that all apostles have the right, we would say all pastors have the right also, to earn their living by the gospel. Don't muzzle the ox. Give to the one who teaches you. In other words, it's the duty of the Christian congregation to keep your pastor alive so he can do his work. Paul, of course, didn't allow that. He did his own work on the side to be extra self-sufficient, and he claimed it was that way so that no one could possibly malign him as being a thief or being an unworthy servant. And he mentions that Barnabas and he must be the only ones, rhetorically speaking, who have to stop and throw off all their rights. You think back all the way to our first introduction to Barnabas, the man who gave up his wealth, as we sang in the hymn, who was glad to sell his field, and maybe he had other fields he had not sold, or maybe he was independently wealthy in some way. But we see that he hears the word of God and must speak it. And he especially is helpful for us when we think about our mission work, our desire to have ecumenical relations with other churches, which is to say, to see the church united in its work We always want to listen to the word of God being echoed and spoken. That's our evidence of the Spirit's work. And we can be both excited and eager to hear it in others, but especially we can rejoice to see that the word of God goes out, has its effect, does not return void, as Isaiah says, but accomplishes its purposes and brings about the saving faith and the rich growing love of Christ Jesus in all places. Thank God for Barnabas. May our church follow his example. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Thank you for joining us for Chapel. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces. To learn more about long and short-term opportunities to serve, visit servenow.lcms.org.